Well, I will find out what their sin is. We'll break the curse over them. I'll pray the prayer of faith for them. And I did many times I have seen them get pregnant. In fact, one woman and her husband over here in the North Richland Hills, that had one son, doctor said, and she'd had three surgeries to have that son. And after she had that one, doctor said, you can't never have any more children. It's impossible for you to get pregnant. So, I don't know, they met me and, two or three years later, they came to me, called me one night and said, they met me at a church down here in North Fort Worth. And they wanted to know if I would meet with them there and pray with them that they might have a child. I went upstairs in that room and I knelt down in that great big old room, me and that man and that woman. And I asked the Father in Jesus' name to give that couple another child, a beautiful, healthy son. They wanted another boy. They had one. That night she got pregnant. 9 months later, she had a beautiful, beautiful, healthy boy. And I went to see him after the baby was born. I saw him one time as a little. He was never little. When he was born, he weighed 10 pounds. He was a big critter. But he was a beautiful boy. And I didn't see him anymore for, I guess, 5 or 6 years. And one day I walked into the radio station down here at Irving, and I had no idea he was one of the engineers in there. And I walked in and happened to walk back there to where the little break room was. And I didn't look to see if anybody in there. I just walked in. I was going to get me a drink or something. I don't know. I walked in and I heard somebody scream, Thurman Scribner. And I turned to look, and man, here's this woman. Bam. And kissed me on the cheek, and he said, praise God. Come over here. She said, come over here. Look at this. He said, these are my boys now. Look at them now. And she said, there's my big one, and here's the one you prayed for. Isn't he wonderful? I said, he's a little sweetheart. And she called her husband. He come out from inside in there, and we all met and talked a little while. And she said, we're so grateful for these two boys. Doctor said, we could never have that one. But she said, you prayed for us, and we got pregnant that night. And she said, praise God. You know, we got the two boys that we wanted now, and said, we just love them, love them, love them. Now, prayers of faith. What does prayer of faith do? Hey, it produces results. I mean, it produces. It says, but some people make cutting remarks about these things. And unfortunately, you'll find people, when you start walking in faith, you'll find some Christian people that will cut you down. You know, that'll make cutting remarks about you making these kind of statements. Who do you think you are? You can't tell God what to do. Boy, have I heard that a lot of times. I say, I don't tell God what to do. He tells me what to do. I just do what He says. And then He produces these wonderful things. But some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Now, when you speak words of wisdom to people, it will heal their body because those words come out of God's Word. And I have no idea how many people I have seen wonderfully set free and healed in their life by speaking words. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. Verse 19 and 20. Truth stands the test of time. Lies are soon exposed. Truth always stands the test of time. You know, you can teach God's Word, and you can teach it in its truth, and it will stand, it will produce results, and people will stand on it, and people get set free, their lives are changed, they get healed, every kind of imaginable thing can happen. But people that tells lies, those are soon exposed. You know, they do not produce any kind of power. Verse 20 says, deceit fills hearts that are plotting evil, but joy fills hearts that are planning peace. Now then, if you want to have peace, plan good things. Plan to be joyful. You know, it says there, deceit fills the heart of those that are plotting evil. So if you're plotting to do something bad to somebody, hey, deceit's going to come upon you because it's written in the book. It's just going to happen. So don't be one of those kind of people. Be a person that plans to do peaceful things within your life. And if you do, joy will just fill your heart. I mean, you won't never have a broken heart. You won't ever have heart trouble. You know, your heart will, walk in love. and purity, and your heart will be strong, you know, and it won't never stop up. The arteries won't never stop up. You won't ever have to have an open heart bypass or none of that stuff. If you'll walk in obedience to God's word and you'll plan peace and walk in love, God will keep your arteries and everything wide open. You know, it's amazing how it happens. In fact, a few years ago, when I was still in the workforce, they told me, said, you have to go down for a physical. I said, I'm not anything wrong with me. They said, well, we require a physical every once in a while, and it's your time's come up, so you need to go for a physical. Okay. So I went down, and they done a physical on me. And as they were doing the physical, the guy was listening to my heart, and he says, have you ever had a heart attack? I said, no. He said, well, something's wrong with your heart. I said, there is nothing wrong with my heart. Now, see, the enemy's trying his best to get me. I ain't going there with him. No way. He said, well, we're going to have to give you a stress test. I said, what's that? I didn't know what it was. He said, well, we'll put you on a little treadmill, let you run, and we'll put a EKG machine to you and hook it up, and we'll see how you fare on that. Okay. I said, I'm telling you, not anything wrong with my heart. So I got down there, and I got on the machine. They plug stuff all over me. Little machine sitting there running, doing its thing. And I'm starting to walk, you know, and I get faster. I go about only maybe 2 minutes, whatever, not very long at all. He told me it was going to be about 8 to 10 minutes, but within a couple of minutes, he said, stop, that's it. He said, there's something seriously wrong with your heart. I said, there's not anything wrong with my heart. I run, I bale hay. I said, I'll haul 1,000 bales of hay a day by myself in the course of a day, and I'll be soaking wet with sweat. I said, there's nothing wrong with my heart. He said, no, there's something seriously wrong with your heart. I said, I ain't buying it. There ain't nothing wrong with my heart. I am not going to buy what the enemy's trying to do to me. So he said, well, I'm going to send you to Irving right now for a heart specialist to check you. I said, okay. I mean, the company requires this. Now I said, okay, but there is nothing wrong with my heart. I go down there. I walk into that doctor's office. He takes me in and he listens to my heart front and back and all that kind of stuff. And he said, well, he said, I don't know what's wrong with you. He said, your heart sounds awful strong just listening to it. But he says, I don't know. With the results that come off this machine, there's something seriously wrong with your heart. So he said, we're going to run you right on. I want you to go home, get stuff you need to go to the hospital, and go on down to, I forget what hospital it was in Dallas, and check in. And he said, in the morning, we're going to do a angiogram. Angiogram, is that what they call it? I've been so long, I forget. I think that's what they call it. It's where they put a catheter in a blood vessel, main. Anyway, he said, we're going to do, I didn't know what it was. I said, what do you mean? He said, no, there's something wrong with you. I said, there is nothing wrong with me. I ain't going there with you. I don't care what anybody says. I've learned I ain't going there with you. I'm going to stand on God's word. So I did. But I had to do what they said. So I went down there. I told him, I said, what do I take to a hospital? He said, what do you mean? Don't you know what to take to a hospital? I said, no, I ain't never been in one. He said, you've never spent the night in a hospital? I said, no. And I said, I don't plan to spend any more. I said, if I got to spend the night tonight, you tell me what to bring and I'll be there. But I said, other than that, I have never spent a minute in a hospital. Well, okay, he told me what to bring. So I said, okay. So I went home, got it, come down. I slept there in the hospital that night. I felt so stupid in a hospital bed. You know, wasn't nothing wrong with me. But I spent the night there, and the next morning, 7 o'clock, they come got me, took me down to a machine and hooked me up, and there's a TV monitor up there, and I can watch them on the TV monitor, that little thing. I watch them cut a hole in my leg, right here in my groin. They cut a hole in an artery, and they ran that thing in there, and I could see that thing going up inside my body. And they run it around to a valve, and he pushed a little button. He said, now, when I do this, you're going to see a black flow of stuff, and we'll be able to see the valves working. Okay. And when they pushed that little button and that black come into it, I felt that to my toes, to my fingertips, everywhere, instantly. I thought, wow, this body is amazing. But I saw those little valves open and close. And then they pulled it out and pulled it around and put it in another one. Did the same thing. After they got all of them checked, I said, well, Doc, I said, he said, that's the last valve. I said, well, I don't know anything about a heart, but I understand the hydraulic system very well. And I said, it looks to me like all them valves are working perfect, and it looks like all them lines are wide open. He said, you have a heart as good as any 17-year-old I ever checked in my life. I said, so what's wrong with me then? He said, we don't know. Now, they spent all this money, all this time, when there was nothing wrong with me. Well, the next day the doctor come in and he said, you know, we really don't know what's wrong with you. He said, but there is three lines, I can't use the terms he used, but three wires that comes from your brain that goes to your heart. And you only need one. And that tells the lower part of your heart when to beat, the way I understood it. He said, there's three of them. And he said, we started figuring out the monitoring system, what we're monitoring, and we're monitoring each one of those three inputs. And he said, one of them is off the scale. So he said, it appears that one of them must be disconnected for the signal to be like it is. And so I said, what does that mean? He said, well, you have three of them. And since one got tore off, you still have two that's working. I said, what if I'd only had one? He said, well, when you tore it off, you'd have been instantly dead. I said, wow, God's awesome. He put a triple redundancy system in there. So he said, have you done any extremely strenuous work, you know, in your life that could have caused this? I thought a minute and I thought, yeah. I said, just maybe last year, whenever it was, I was down in Houston and we were pulling, I think, 150 foot of wire. I forget what size it was, like aught or double aught or something like that, for a main terminal and three big wires and pulling it through conduit. And I had two 23 or 4 year old men and they were trying to pull that wire through that conduit from the electrical room up to where we were going to hook another panel up, and they couldn't pull it through. I told him, I said, you young whippersnappers, get down and let a man get up there. So you know how us guys are. You know, so I got up there. I put the steel trusses across my chest to reach around those things, and I pulled that wire through there all the way through. And the next morning when I took my shirt off to take a shower, I had a big X across my shirt where I was bruised so heavily because I'd pushed so hard against that steel with my body. And I thought, I get that maybe when I done that. That maybe when I done that. You know how guys are. You know, you ain't going to let somebody out, do you, when you're young and stupid, right? So that's just the way we are.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.